I just thank Jason and the team for leading us with enthusiasm and passion and excellence today. I can't remember if I said this already, but the word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, entheos, which means God in you. The actual word enthusiasm is rooted in God. And I love the passion, the enthusiasm that these guys show. Back in the day, the early Christians, they in the first few centuries of Christianity, the believers were under intense persecution. So much so that they had to go underground, really, a lot of the times, in order to survive. They were not a friend of Rome. They were seen to be usurpers of Roman authority and of Caesar, because their claims were that Jesus was Lord, not Caesar. And so the early Christians developed a code, number of codes, but one of the codes was, if I were coming upon you on the street and I greeted you and I thought maybe you were a believer, I would write this on the ground. And if you were a believer in Christ, you would write this back on the dirt next to it, the fish symbol. And that was chosen as a sign of Christ, because the Greek word ichthus is actually an acronym. Iesu, Christos, Theos, Hios, Soter, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. The first letters of each one of those words. And so this became a symbol of Christianity. I take it you've seen these. You've seen these, right? Well, today, you see this all over bumper stickers and business cards, right? This is where you see it, and it tells the world, this is a Christian driving this car. This is a Christian running this business, and that's a dangerous thing, isn't it? There's a story about a guy who was driving, and he had a lady tailgating him. She was in a hurry, much more so than he was. But when he came to a light that turned yellow, he did the right thing. And that is, instead of bolting through the light because she was pushing him, he slowed and stopped before the crosswalk. Well, that just sent her over the edge. Just sent her over the edge. And she just exploded with single finger salutes and you know, profanity, and just exploded yelling at this guy from her car. Well, a police officer was off to the side watching all this take place, and while she's in the middle of her tirade, he walks up to her window and he asks her, ma'am, could you get out of your car, please? And of course, she gets out of the car. He asks her to, you know, raise your hands. And make a long story short, he takes her down to the station, photographs her, puts her in a holding cell. She's in shock, of course, but she's still angry. He comes back a little while later, and he comes to the cell, and he says, ma'am, I'm so sorry. He opens the door, and he lets her out. It is my mistake. He said, when I saw you going into that unleashing of anger and profanity toward that guy, and, you know, just all this anger coming out, and I saw the Choose Life license plate holder, and I saw the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker and the fish symbol emblem on your back of your car, I assumed you had stolen the car. I just knew that you had to steal that car. It's a dangerous thing having one of these on your car, I'm telling you. No way I'm ever going to do that. Last week, Sherry and I were at the Green. And if you're turning at the green on the theater entrance side, there's that light. It has two left turn lanes. And I pulled up to the right left turn lane. And there was a lady that pulled up next to us in the left turn lane. And she was in a minivan. And she had that spirit spray stuff, you know, that you can put. Go Zach, beat so on, you know. That she had on there, happy birthday, somebody sprayed, happy birthday Cindy, honk honk, you know, honk to wish Cindy a happy birthday. And so we're pulling up, you know, stopping there, waiting for the light to turn. Well, the light turns green, we go to turn left into that theater entrance side, and I went back and checked on this. She assumed that my lane was her lane, and I was in her lane when we turned left. And so she goes in, she starts going into my lane, and I, you know, I didn't have anywhere. No, you know, don't do this. I look at her, what are you doing? And she was like the lady at the stoplight. She just unleashed, and she gave me the finger. She started, you know, she just started, you know, boom, boom. And I just had one of those days. I was having none of it. And I wish Cindy a happy birthday, okay? Sherry got on me. She said, Charlie, be slow to anger. I said, I am. I'm doing it slow. I'm just holding it there. I don't know. I just feel bad. I'm never putting one of these on my car just in case. I know. There's no way. But this came to symbolize I'm a follower of Christ. And it was natural because Jesus associated with fishermen and he used fishing analogies in his teachings. This is a very agricultural and also a fishing industry culture that he lived around, taught around. For example, in Luke chapter 5, he is prayerfully considered who he's going to recruit to be on his team that would influence the world. And one day he goes to these fishermen, Peter, James, and John, and they haven't caught anything all day. He goes out into their boat. He teaches for a while. Then he goes out into their boat. And he goes, hey, I know you guys haven't caught anything, but I'm telling you, cast your nets into the deep part and you'll catch some fish. And it's kind of an interesting interchange because Peter says, well, you know, you're the carpenter. We're the fishermen. You stick to carpentry. We'll do the fishing. We haven't caught anything. He says, no, throw it in there. And they do because Peter goes, this is the ultimate sign of a follower. He says, but because you say so, I will. But because you say so. And they throw their net into the deep end, and it says they caught such a large catch of fish that when they pulled it ashore, it began to break the nets. And Peter's response was, Lord, get away from me. I am a sinful man. I don't deserve to be in your presence. And Jesus says, Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. You're not going to spend your life catching fish. I've got a higher purpose for your life, and that's to catch people. And so this imagery, this is a similar, you know, to a first century fishing net, except it would be larger and they would have lead weights that would sink the net to the bottom. The fish would swim over it and the fishermen would be watching and it would be, you know, lines attached to it. And when the fish swam over it, they would catch the fish, sweeping it through the ocean, catch the fish in the net. That leads us to this section of scripture we're going to look at for 3 weeks. You have a program, turn to that and on today's date. Because there's a verse there I want you to see that we're going to focus on today. We're going to focus on a couple of the verses. But Jesus is teaching through this chapter using parables. Parables are comparative stories. You know, they parallel something on earth to something in heaven. And he's used the imagery of seed and soil, weeds, mustard seed and yeast, and hidden treasure, which we just sang about. And then he says the final parable in this chapter. Once again, the kingdom of heaven, it was like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. So this is interesting. Look at that phrase, the kingdom of heaven. You've heard me use before that the way to understand that is like an umbrella. The effective rule of God is what it is. The kingdom of heaven exists wherever in a person, in a office, in a home, in a city, in a church, wherever God is ruling, that person is under the effective range of God's power and provision, his authority. And so Jesus uses a different analogy. He says the kingdom of also God is also sweeping into this planet and seeking to catch people in God's rule and his power and provision. And he says this is what the kingdom of God is like. It was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. Now next week we're going to focus on verse 48. Look at that. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. And that's the main point of the parable. Today we're focusing on verse 47. It caught all kinds of fish. All kinds of fish. I love fish and fishing and everything to do with fish. And this parable speaks to me for that reason, but also because I've been in church work all my adult life. And this is such a refreshing parable because he says, you know, when you come into the kingdom of God, not everyone is a fully formed fish. You know, not everyone's a fully developed fish. You're going to have some fish that you swim with rather easily and you kind of swim in the same way. But in the kingdom of God, you're going to find some jellyfish and some crabs and some sharks too. There are all kinds of fish that are going to be caught into this net. Not everyone is totally there, and that is realistic. And I want you to focus on that today because every fish, you know, every fish has its own genus and species. Okay, for example, the black piranha, pretty well-known fish. Sarasalam niger is the genus and species of the black piranha. The angelfish, we've many of us who've had aquariums have had angelfish in there. Pterophyllum leopardi is the genus and species. My favorite fish, the great white shark, Carcharodon carcharis, which means shark tooth, many tooth shark. And so every fish has its genus and species, its kind. I have been doing this church work for a long time now. And I sat down this week in light of this and I thought, you know, in my time working in Lake Church, I have discovered all kinds of fish. Do you want to see some of the fish that I've seen down through the years? Here's some of the fish that I've discovered. Have you seen Grumbulate noplisacanusus? This fish is unique. It has the ability to cross its pectoral fins like this. Some of you know that fish. Then there's Stuccacanus kiljoyuli. This fish stays in one place. It never moves. There's Holyrolius over spiritualesius. This fish, she's a predator around every corner, around every rock. Scares all the other fish all the time. Then there's Perpetuus happy all the time eye. This one just thinks all the creatures of the sea are one big happy family. There are no predators in the ocean to this person. What about, have you met Gossypara motormouthus? This fish has a disproportionately large mouth for its body. There's Ternus or Bernolate. This one has a blazing red color that gets redder when it gets around other fish. Apathete lukewarmicanus. This one always swims with the current. Narrow-mindedus judgmentalata believes it is the superior fish in the sea. Hypercritolata positere can blend with any surrounding, but my favorite one is Titwatocallis prospera. This one hides in the seaweed because it's beautiful, but it doesn't want to be seen. It doesn't want to be discovered. All kinds of fish. You see my point? All kinds of fish. But this is interesting. I do a lot of reading on fish. And I came across last year an ichthyologist who was writing about fish, this article. And he said even among a particular genus and species, there actually develops two kinds of fish within that genus and species. He said that one kind of fish, if you take any species of fish, on one side is that you get fish that live in an aquarium. And these fish develop certain characteristics because they live in an aquarium. That same species of fish also obviously can exist in an ocean. Here's what he said. He said, fish in an aquarium are one kind. They can swim, they reproduce, they eat with minimal effort, all the while remaining safe from predators. They are, in a word, sensitive fish. They can't handle much, they can't handle certain pH levels and dirty tanks. And if you've ever had an aquarium, anybody here ever owned an aquarium? You know, you put the plants in there and you got all the rocks and everything in this aquarium. And you got to really watch it though, because stuff builds up and the fish can't handle certain things. They're very sensitive. He's right. Then he said there are ocean fish, wild fish. They have to work much harder to survive. They have to cope with more, and I like this phrase, variation in challenge. They are also more robust and hardy than aquarium fish. So this ichthyologist says, on the one hand, there's this dividing line even between genus and species. You have the mild fish and you have the wild fish. And the wild fish are really alive. Kind of makes you feel sorry for aquarium fish a little bit. But the wild fish, he said, are hardy fish. Guess which one you think Jesus calls us to be. And this talk, this series is really critical for men. Because one of the things the church can do to men in particular is almost emasculate men. It can be so feminine leaning sometimes that the church becomes this place where just fit into this little box. The church can easily become an aquarium where if you just stop cussing, you'll be okay. You know, that's all. Just stop cussing. And you'll be, and you know, just these things that are not about life change and living what Jesus said in John 10:10 is, I have come that you might have life and have it how? More abundantly, to the full, he said. And so this is really important. Pete Kramer has blessed my life so much. I just love Pete. And he has, every time I get an email from Pete, I get a blessing because, and just, you know, you may want to write this down. He has a tag at his signature in his emails that goes out. Every email Pete sends, those of you who have received emails from Pete have gotten this, and I love this tag. Life shouldn't be, this is a quote, life shouldn't be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly shouting, wow, what a ride, thank you, Lord. Which side of the fish equation is that one, huh? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? That's a wild fish. That's a wild fish. And people who have seen Pete ski say, he's a wild fish, you know? Yeah, that's a wild fish. And Jesus, do you know which, you know what got him killed? Is he didn't fit in to the Pharisees' little aquarium. That's what got him killed. That's what God used to bring about his redemptive work on the cross, is he didn't fit in their preconceived limitations of religion and life and everything. And because Jesus was a wild fish. Philip Yancey grew up in a very fundamentalist church when he was growing up. He wrote a book called The Jesus I Never Knew. Isn't that a great title? The Jesus I Never Knew. And he said this, what was Jesus like as a person? How would he have scored on a personality profile test? The personality that emerges from the Gospels differs radically from the image of Jesus I grew up with. An image I now recognize in some of the older Hollywood films about Jesus. He strides through life as the one calm character among a cast of flustered extras. Nothing rattles him. He dispenses wisdom in flat, measured tones. He is, in short, the Prozac Jesus. In contrast, the Gospels present a man who has such charisma that people will sit 3 days straight without food just to hear his riveting words. He seems excitable, impulsively moved with compassion on one occasion, or filled with pity on another occasion. The Gospels reveal a range of Jesus' emotional responses, sudden sympathy for a person with leprosy, exuberance over his disciples' successes, a blast of anger at cold-hearted legalists, grief over an unreceptive city, and then those awful cries of anguish in Gethsemane and on the cross. He had nearly inexhaustible patience with individuals, but no patience at all with institutions and injustice. Jesus was a wild fish. That's what he was. And the life that he calls you, particularly you men, into is not some mild... Anybody ever see the movie? I'm going to talk about this next week. Mr. Limpet. When Donald Knotts played a character, wanted to become a fish. Jesus is no Mr. Limpet. He's a wild fish. That's what got him killed. And he said, I have come that you might have the life of adventure that I have lived. So here's what I want you to do. To prepare for this series, if you have a pen, I'd like for you to jot down 5 things I want you to do this week. In some measure, this is between you and God, okay? It's 5 things, and I'm going to give you 2 questions at the end to ask yourself and wrestle with the ultimate wild fish himself with these questions, okay? So here's some things you can do this week. Number one, take some faith risks. Take some faith risks. For example, those 3 names that you wrote on the card a few weeks ago, have you walked across the room yet and had spiritual conversations about Christ with those people? Remember Philemon 6? I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that we can have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. That's what Philemon verse 6 says. That you, when you get on the adventure of being a just walk across the room person, you're becoming a wild fish because you can get ostracized in your group at school or in the cubicle, in the office pool, whatever. You can get ostracized by your neighbors because you're not, I mean, you're kind of a dangerous fish. You're kind of dangerous. Take some faith risk. Take a faith risk emotionally by having those conversations. Anybody seen the movie The Avengers? It is. I'm a comic book geek, so these movies, I'm out there opening nights, standing in line, you know. Love it. It's a really good, fun movie. But there's a tense scene in the plot where, am I the only one seen the movie? No, they've made like $500 billion off this thing. There's this time in the plot when Agent Coulson is looking at Loki, the antagonist, the evil Loki, and he says, "You're going to lose. It's in your nature. You lack conviction. You lack conviction." Paul wrote Timothy one time. Timothy was a church leader, but he was timid. And he told Timothy the timid, 2 Timothy 1:8, "Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Do it with gentleness. Do it with respect. Be smart about it the way we taught during Just Walk Across the Room. But take those risks. Be willing to be ostracized. Be willing to swim against the current. Be a wild fish. Take that risk. Take that risk." The scriptures also say this. Some of you, it's time to take the spiritual risk of baptism. Of baptism. It's your time. This series will culminate in 2 weeks with a baptism weekend where people will join together and say, the words that got people killed in the first century. Three words got people killed in the first century. Jesus is Lord. That's why the Bible says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. You read that and you go, what? Oh, I can say Jesus is Lord. In that day, it was the Spirit in you that made you say that because it was a statement of execution. Many people died when they came out of the waters of baptism. Because they said there, Caesar is not Lord, Jesus is Lord. The waters of baptism, we sing that song, if grace were an ocean, then we're all sinking. Baptism is that statement of wild fishes. That's what it is. I am publicly declaring where I stand with my life. And maybe it's your time. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, do not harden your heart, the scriptures say. Number two, get uncomfortable. Get uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is It is so easy in our the way most of us live most of the time, the majority. This is not true for those of you who have great pain in your life, cancer, divorce. This is not true. But for many of us, our lives are all the time about fighting the comforts that affect us spiritually, the comforts of the aquarium living. And so the one of the things about spiritual disciplines is they put us in discomfort, right? So fast. Make fasting a regular part of your life. Fast from some food or TV or tech or something this week. Just fast for no other reason than to meet the Lord at that place of discomfort. And if you're telling yourself, Lord, I am intentionally moving to that place of discomfort that you lived in. Ride your bike to work. Run 5 miles to get ready for the cancer crush run. Do without something. Go camping. You know, if you want a crisis in your life that makes you tougher, go camping, go hiking, sweat hard, get dirty. When we got married, we had some money given to us, wedding gift, and I went out and bought camping equipment. Biggest waste of money I ever did, unless I wanted to go by myself. Sherry asked me last night, you were talking to me, weren't you? I said, yes, I was talking to you. There's no way. I mean, she is, to her, roughing it is turning down the blanket at the Holiday Inn, you know? That's roughing it. And so maybe, you know, Sherry and you need to do some things, you know? The Bible says, gird thy loins. Gird thy loins. I love that phrase in the King James Version. Gird thy loins. In Hebrews it says, make level paths for your feet. Strengthen your weak arms and feeble knees, it says. Look at this verse from Hebrews 10. Verse 39, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. That's a great verse to memorize. We are not of those. We're not fish that are always swimming with the current. There is a role in that book that we're told that adversity, discomfort plays, it makes us wild fish. It makes us more robust. It makes us more hardy. We're having to get out of the aquarium and into the world. Now, let me tell you this. This is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Nothing in my life has helped me move to become a wild fish more than being uncomfortable with generosity. Because see, in our culture, accumulating money is about making my aquarium just much more. I can live in my own aquarium. I don't have to share my aquarium with anybody else. I have independence. I have leverage. And when we give till it hurts, what we're saying, when we get to hurt, we're saying, I'm trusting you, God. And nowhere will you see God show up than when you give till it hurts. Nowhere. When living a generous life, you'll see God show up and it'll make you more of a robust, hearty, wild fish. On your seat today were some suggestions on how to give. I'm telling you, this card that you have on your seats is, I've got it in here somewhere. It's in here somewhere. This card is a spiritual wild fish growth tool. One of the things Sherry and I do, because used to, we'd be gone summer, and you know, you get out of the habit, you forget to send your check or something, we do the automated giving. And we've done that for a few, it's just automatic. And you always know, you know, when the bag's passed here, we've given at the office, so to speak. I mean, we can celebrate that and find a way to make yourself uncomfortable with your giving, and you will see God show up, and it'll grow you into a robust, hearty believer. Number three, push your endurance. Push the limits of what you can do physically. With the physicians okay, push yourself. Because physical pushing of endurance has a spiritual value to it. When you finish that set, when you finish that lap, you're telling yourself, I won't quit on the noble things of life either. I use physically pushing myself to help train myself spiritually. That's why 1 Timothy 4 says, physical training is of some value. Godliness is valuable for all things. Physical training helps with that. Read more than you think you can this summer. Push yourself intellectually. Maybe you're not a reader. Read more. Memorize scripture. It hurts the brain to memorize scripture, doesn't it? It hurts the brain. There's something about it. It hurts. I mean, I really, this is the number one thing I do spiritually that helps me. But it is not fun. You have to push through it because it hurts your brain to memorize things. Take that verse from Hebrews 10:39 and memorize it this week. Push yourself. Make yourself do it. Make yourself quit something that you should have quit a long time ago. Make yourself do something that you shouldn't quit, and your body is crying out to quit. But you take charge of your life and you say, I'm responsible for me. I'm in charge of my life with God's help. If you have been knocked down, get back up. Look at this verse from Proverbs 24:16. It says, a righteous man, though a righteous man falls down seven times, he gets up again. He rises again. That's a great verse to memorize. That the power of God's rightness in your life gives you this capacity to push the levels of your endurance. When your spirit and body are crying out, quit, give in, that you keep on going. You keep on going. You push through. Paul, the apostle, was a wild fish, wasn't he? You ever read his life? He was a wild fish. He wasn't a mild aquarium fish. He got out of the aquarium and he got into the business of swimming the ocean for Christ's sake. Well, there's a story in Acts 14 where he is in the town. He's gone to the town. He's traveling from town to town, preaching the gospel of the risen Christ. And he's in Lystra. And they don't like what he has to say. They stone him, which meant that they threw you over the cliff and put big rocks, threw rocks on top of you, rolled rocks on top of you until you were dead. And Paul, make a long story short, the disciples surround him and he miraculously gets up. He gets up. Now, I don't know about you, but at that point, I'm cashing in on my apostles' pension plan, aren't you? I'm gonna be a sports announcer. I'm gonna go teach old ladies golf. I got a list of 10 things I could do other than preach Christ. You know what this says? Verse 30 of Acts 14 says this. It says that he got up, Paul got up, went back into the city of Lystra, and the next day he left for Derbe, where he preached the message of Christ in that city and won a large number of followers. That's a wild fish. Gets up, keeps on going. 2 Corinthians 4 in the Living Bible says, we get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Who wrote those words? Paul wrote those words. He wrote those words. And when you get knocked down, you get up. Maybe you failed miserably this week. You get up and you keep going. That's a wild fish. Number four. Stop all complaining. Complaint is the language of spoiled aquarium fish. It really is. Ocean fish don't complain as much as aquarium fish. I have it on good record. If you could listen to aquarium fish talk, you know what they would say? You know what aquarium fish would say? They'd get together and they'd say, I don't like the flakiness of the food that he's been putting in the tank lately. You know, the pH balance is a little off. I'm not feeling very good. You know, that's aquarium fish. You know, that's aquarium fish. It's the language of victims, not victors. And one of the things, if you want to be a wild fish, is that you have to eliminate complaint from your life. Complaint from your life. Now look at this verse. Look at this verse, Philippians 2:14. Say this out loud with me. Philippians 2:14. Say it out loud. Do everything without complaining. Isn't that a great verse to memorize? Maybe just have your husband memorize it because he needs it. Do everything with, say it again. Do everything without complaining. Now, if you're sitting here thinking, I don't like it when he makes this say those verses out loud, you're the person I'm talking to. You need this talk. Okay? We are a culture of pampered fish. We really are. And we complain about things that are just so, so benign. Do without it. Number five, decide to follow Christ today, tomorrow, and forever. Because Jesus was the ultimate wild fish. He swam against the current. He had the power living in him of God, and it enabled him to swim against the current. Here was a man who could take babies and put them on his lap, and children loved being around him, and yet he also commanded the loyalty of dock workers, is essentially what the fishermen were. He, the Bible says, is the Lord of hosts, who is the captain of the angel armies. And one day he's going to return, and the Bible said he's going to lead that army. And the symbolic picture is that we will have emblazoned in his thigh. Isn't that just a great image? King of kings and Lord of lords. This is the one that we follow. And he was no mild fish. He was a wild fish. I have a friend who gave me, he knows my love for sharks and fish, but he gave me, maybe you've seen this, there are all kinds of versions of the fish symbol. He gave me a chrome-plated fish symbol that he knew I would like. It looks like this. And I love that thing. It's a great white shark. I have my office with some nice framed pictures of great whites swimming through the water. Because the truth is, Jesus was, he was no clownfish. C.S. Lewis, in his brilliant Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, described him, of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's good. Jesus is not safe in the sense of some mild, harmless, weak Mr. Limpet fish. Jesus is the one who he calls you with two words, follow me, follow me. And you drop your nets. You drop your nets when that guy asks you. And you follow him. Two questions. Two questions to take home. What kind of fish are you? And this week, would you wrestle with the question, second one, what kind of fish do you want to be? What kind do you want to be? I know the kind that he wants us all to be, that we might have life and have it to the full. Let's pray. Lord, it is so easy to just get soft. To reduce life down to being keepers of the aquarium. Fish of the same genus and species that live in a 5-gallon tank won't grow as much as a fish that lives in the ocean. By the definition of what is imposed, they don't grow. And what a frustrating thing to be in a faith environment, but to have put ourselves in our own 5-gallon tanks. May we swim with you in the ocean of grace and faith and adventure and discovery. May that be us. May you use this series to get us out of our comfortable beige chairs and swimming in your school, swimming in the net of your kingdom rule. That's what we want, Lord. We don't want to waste a bunch of religious time being religious people, making our aquarium look better. That's not what we want to be. Lead on, ultimate wild fish, and we will follow. Thank you for the cross, because it was swimming against the current that got you there, and it was the power you developed in your life, the power of the Spirit that enabled you to endure it. Before we go today, many of us are going to honor you, our leader, our Savior, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. And we pray in your name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Amen. Have a wild fish week, everyone.